Singer-songwriter Josh Ritter joins us live on stage at World Cafe Live today. We'll hear performances from the new album, The Historical Conquest of Josh Ritter, interspersed with conversation about the making of the album. Historical Conquest is his fourth overall and follows the darker album, The Animal Years, by just about a year. Josh is from Idaho, studied neuroscience at Oberlin College, and released his first album in 2002. I started out by asking him about the first time he released an album, that sense of expectation that an artist has.
Yeah, it's one I remember the first time I released a record, which was when I got it back from the factory in 99, my first record. And I ordered 2,000, which took me a long, long, long time to sell. And they all showed up at my dorm room, and it was about like 11 boxes. And it's always, you know, I looked at that, it's like looking at Mount Everest. And I still kind of feel like that same, I always think about that moment because it's sort of, It's such a big moment, and you have to remember that it's supposed to be really fun and not nerve-wracking, you know.
It's probably all you could do to not give them all away, right? Because you want everybody to hear it.
They don't let me have them anymore. Like, I have to ask. Yeah. I usually give them away. I figure like it's a drop in the ocean, but you know how the record business is these days. So I ask for them for my manager, and he gives me one or two at a time.
Well, there are a couple of songs on here that kind of refer to this, and I've heard you talk about it in interviews about this. In some ways, this album feels more like a house party, and I don't know if it has anything to do with how you recorded it and the whole vibe with that or what you meant, but there are a lot of references to kind of a party, and it kind of sounds that way. Was that any kind of a model?
Yeah. Well, like, yeah, because I was thinking a lot about, you know, after Animal Years, I really wanted to make a record that, you know, kind of shaking the water off, you know, and I thought about different ways of making a record that would be different and would help me kind of relax, and you know, one of the things that we did that worked out really well was going up to Maine out in the middle of nowhere, which is always, like, kind of a cool place, and then you bring people up and it's, you know, sub-zero, and you try and make it as much of a weird party as possible so that any musicians are there kind of forget about trying to do a good job and just start to have fun. You know, sometimes the recording process can get so sterile and so laboratory perfect, and this was really cool. The other thing that I did was trying to, while I was in the studio and writing in the studio, which was really a spontaneous kind of feel, when I tried to imagine a band that would play these songs, like a band that you would walk into in a really cool bar out in the middle of nowhere that you would just kind of stumble on, like kind of an Otis Day kind of thing, you know, Animal House style, and I thought of a band called the Paper Cups, or the Plastic Cups, and if it was a Plastic Cup song, then it felt like it would be on the record, you know, like a house party kind of thing.
Well, there's something else I read about it, and actually we're going to get to Mind's Eye to start things off, was you not writing on acoustic guitar and writing on what, an instrument you don't even play?
Yeah. It's really pretty nice. You know, I play like piano like a zombie. So and that's like I can only play in C and A minor really, and everything else is experimental music. It really helped me to play that way because you have to play slowly and you start to play different chords and in different progressions just because you don't know what you're doing, and it's really cool. It's like I imagine it's kind of like you know, the first guy ever to eat an oyster. If you get bored enough of the celery, you move on to the oysters, and that's kind of what me moving from guitar to piano was. I don't know if that's the best analogy or not.
a man of many analogies. I love it. You know, actually, it seems like the lyrics of Mind's Eye kind of refer to that kind of feeling your way on the piano thing, too, in a way.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, all over the place. I think with the lyrics for this record, in a lot of ways, I worked with whatever I had at hand, which was I wasn't thinking in the same way that I did with Animal Years. I really felt like I needed to change how I was thinking about writing, because if you just kind of pull the block out from underneath everything, then it changes how the whole thing fits together. And so just saying that I wasn't going to write until I really got into the studio was a big thing for me, because my mind was empty when I went in, and from there you can go off in all these directions and songs will relate to each other in new ways. And I was writing about the piano because it was like right there in front of me most of the time, you know. I'm going to take up the Steinway was my mantra, and I still haven't really. It's a heavy instrument, so
hard to tour with too. So,
thankfully, yes.
Well, this is Mind's Eye on stage at World Cafe Live with our guest Josh Ritter. Mind's Eye from the Historical Conquest of Josh Ritter, recorded live on stage at World Cafe Live with Josh and pretty much the band that recorded the album with you.
Yeah, that's everybody in the band is they're my guys.
Well, you talked a little bit about how the lyrics came, and the song, the album begins with a song that just crams them all in, which is something I love. Even if I don't understand it the first time through, I know that eventually I will. It's To the Dogs or Whoever, and careful listening months later, I realized that that's actually a lyric on Empty Hearts. Could you just not figure out what to call the song?
Well, I kind of like leaving like little things that tie into each other in songs and little moments where if a lyric will become clear, or will rearrange itself according to like what you were listening to later. And the verse of Empty Hearts that says, you know, I'm inside with my friends and we build fires and pretend that the night could just bend on forever. And I think that's kind of what that whole experience up in Maine was like for me, you know. Especially winding up towards the end, you know, when you've got a fire going and you've got all the people that have been working up there and people know each other now and they've all met, it's possible to have these great big kind of group sing-along things and not feel like too much of a hippie.
Now, there are three women in here. There's Joan of Arc, there's Calamity Jane, and who's the third?
Florence Nightingale.
Oh, Florence Nightingale. How did they get together in this whale?
I really, that song I wrote, like, I wanted each verse to be like a little joke, and I wanted something like some little image to come out of every one. And I have this song that I wrote a while ago, which I've never recorded, but it's called Folk Bloodbath, and it's all about all the characters from a whole bunch of my favorite folk songs getting together, and it's just mayhem. You know, it's kind of a Tarantino folk song. song. And I wanted to do a song like that where I kind of brought a whole bunch of characters together and without really thinking too much. It was kind of, that was my big philosophy for that record, was starting it off with that song, because it's just about, you know, conflating all these characters and kind of making a collage and having fun with that. You know, like I always thought it was weird that nobody put Casey Jones and Casey at the Bat ever together, because they're the same thing. You know, they're like, it's hubris, and it's about getting knocked out by a curve, either a curveball or a curve in the tracks. And Florence and Calamity and Joan of Arc, I like them because they all heard voices. Joan of Arc, you know, who was eventually outstayed her welcome, you know, in France, or Calamity Jane, who healed the people with smallpox, or Florence Nightingale in the Crimean War, and I always thought those were really interesting, so I stuck them in the belly of a whale, because that's where kind of Jonah hung out, and it was just a lot of fun, you know.
Yeah, definitely that. This is to the dogs or whoever.
Found her down with the deep blue jail around her, running her hands through the ribs of the dark. Florence and Calamity and Joan of Arc. I love the way she looks in her underwear. Lose my page on the plot, then the book, then I swear she makes the most of her time. But loving me plenty, she knows there'll come a day when we won't be getting any. The butcher crying me through the wreck of a brass band. I thought I could see her in a cakewalk. She came through the dead in the lane, just a little bird floating on a hurricane. I was flat on my back, but beating the thorns. I was in between the apples and the chloroform. She came to me off and I was sure I was dying. It was always hard to tell if she was laughing or crying. I thought I heard somebody calling in the dark. I thought I heard somebody call. Combed the hair with a blade, did the Maid of Orleans. Said Christ walked the water, we can wait through the war. You don't need to tell me who the fire is for. And bring me a love that can sweeten a sword, a boat that can love the rocks of the shore, the love of an iceberg reaching out for the wreck. Can you love me like the cross love the nape by the neck? Was it Casey Jones, or Casey at the Bat, who died out of pride, got famous for that? Killed by a swerve laid low by the curb. Do you ever think they ever thought they got what they deserved? Don't pity the bullet, pity the man. They both find a place in the same sad plan. Both like the barrel going over the falls, crying all the way down. I never asked to be involved. I thought I heard somebody calling in the dark. I thought I heard somebody call. His men to the top of some hell of a hill. Through the whisper of trees came artillery breeze. Said I love the way the wind comes tickling my knees. Change out the apple right between the eyes. Thinking of her when you came outside. Lemonade on your breath, sun in your hand. Did I mention how I love you in your underwear? Deep in the belly of the whale I found her. Down with the deep blue jail around her. Running her hands through the ribs of the dark. Florence and Calamity and Joan of Arc. I thought I heard somebody.
To the Dogs or Whoever, our guest, Josh Ritter, on stage with his great band, playing that live. It's another one from the new album, and we're getting a chance to hear about the tunes. Now, The Temptation of Adam, I absolutely love it. And I must say, it took me a while to kind of figure out how these two got into the silo, because originally I kind of thought they kind of snuck in looking for a place to hide. But or were they supposed to be there?
Well, I thought that they were supposed to be there, because, like, but I've recently learned that that that's probably the reason why you don't allow men and women together in nuclear missile silos, is because, you know, when you live with somebody, it's you know, you have to find your own space and everything, and there's all that negotiation, and it's best not to have like a thermonuclear weapon around. And but I just kind of like the idea of two people, you know, that moment when you in a relationship when everything is so perfect, and you think, man, if I could freeze time right now, this would be perfect. But you know that it isn't, and you know the only reason it's perfect is because it's going to end. And I always thought that, you know, I think that that's something about the story of the Garden of Eden that is so interesting, is these people have this moment of they realize at this moment when the apple's there that things have been perfect, and that it's going to end, and that, you know, that you've got to go off into the world and make your way and deal with the things that come your way. So I thought that, you know, in some ways that little frame of time and that absolutely controlled environment of a nuclear missile silo was kind of similar to the Garden of Eden, you know, in for that moment, you know. And I like girls in jumpsuits as well, which I think is something that says something about me that I'm not really sure about.
And in their underwear, that's documented as well. So how are those long-term relationships going for you, Josh?
Well, I think too much about stuff like that sometimes, and I've got a good one going right now. I'm pretty psyched about it. It's good to go, you know, be in a relationship with somebody who understands like being on the road, you know. That's a hard thing to find, you know, and she's great.
Good. Let's go back to the stage, and this is The Temptation of Adam from Josh Ritter.
If this was the Cold War, we could keep each other warm. I said on the first occasion that I met Marie, we were crawling through the hatch that was the missile silo door, and I don't think that she really thought that much of me. I never had to learn to love her like I learned to love the bomb. She just came along and started to ignore me. But as we waited for the big one, I started singing her my songs. I think she started feeling something for me. We passed the time with crosswords that she thought to bring inside. What five letters spell apocalypse, she asked me. I won her over singing W-W-I-I-I. Oh, she smiled and we both knew that she'd misjudged. Oh, Marie, it was so easy to fall in love with you. It felt almost like a home of sorts or something. And you would keep the warhead missile silo good as new, and I'd watch you with my thumb above the button. And then one night you found me in my army issue cot, and you told me of your flash of inspiration. You said fusion was the broken heart that's a lonely's only thought. All night long you drove me wild with your equations. Oh, Marie, do you remember? Oh, Marie, do you remember all the time we used to take? We'd make our love and then ransack the rations. I think about you leaving now in the avalanche cascades. My eyes get washed away in chain reactions. Oh, Marie, if you would stay, then we could stick pins in the map of all the places where you thought that love would be found. But I would only need one pin to show where my love's at, in a top secret location 300 feet under the ground. Or we could hold each other close. We'd stay up every night looking up into the dark like it's the night sky, and pretend this giant missile is an old oak tree instead, and I'd carve your name in hearts into the warhead. Oh, Marie, there's something tells me things just won't work out above. That I love would live a half life on the surface. So at night while you are sleeping, I hold you closer just because. As our time grows short, I get a little nervous. So I think about the big one, WWYII. Would we ever really care if the world had ended? And you could hold me here forever, like you're holding me tonight. I think about that great big button, and I'm tempted.
Thank you.
The Temptation of Adam. It's Josh Ritter performing live on the World Cafe today. One of the things with some artists, you kind of hesitate to mention what things sound like or what you think their influences are, but that kind of screams Paul Simon. But I did want to talk about Right Moves. I swear, whoever decided to add the organ to this turned it into Billy Swan's "I Can Help," and that's great in my book.
Wow, I don't know that song. Wait,
you should listen to it. It's a great '70s. I don't know if it's well thought of or not. It's a real guilty pleasure for me. It was a huge, huge hit, and it has a chorus with a kind of a rollicking organ as this does. This one lyrically. I guess you talk about and trying to keep things together on the road, and it's got a bit of that in there as well.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. Sometimes you feel like you have to call people up and your friends and things, and just make sure that everything's okay because you haven't seen them in a while, and it's kind of that feeling. Like there's in the modern day that distances mean nothing, but that means that like separation is so much more. Tragic when it happens, it can be, considering how close we can be to each other all the time,
Well, this is Right Moves.
Doing. shine like the northern sky. What if there are things that come between us that we can't take back and we can't make right? You said, I don't know, darling, but I'm here with you. We're coming to the chorus now. Am I making all the right moves? Am I singing you the right blues? Is there a time when I can call you just to see how you are doing?
Live on stage at World Cafe Live, Josh Ritter and his band, and we are getting a chance to talk with him about these performances and these songs on the new album. You've probably answered this before, but the title is a lot loftier than, I guess, your intentions on the album, right? The Historical Conquest.
Yeah. I wanted the biggest title that I could ever come up with. I thought, like, you know, I wanted something that would dispel any kind of idea that I was going for something huge on this. I wanted to go for, so I made it as huge a title as I probably, you know, could get, because I kind of wanted something that felt like a lot of these songs on here. I felt like they were supposed to sound cocky. They were supposed to sound like, you know, kind of bold and kind of blowhard. And I thought that in kind of like the Yosemite Sam kind of Foghorn Leghorn kind of way, you know. And really the characters on the album are so big that I just wanted to, like, take it all the way, and I was hoping that people would get the joke, and most people have, and the people that haven't are they wouldn't have gotten it anyway.
right you are. Well, it's an historic work. I like it a lot. And
thanks a lot.
We thank you very much for performing live for us and for being here and talking about it. Josh Ritter.
Oh, I loved playing. Thanks a lot, dude. Yeah.
Somewhere on the Road, and we'll be back in a moment here on the World Cafe.